Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Santa Ponsa Community Church. Today, Raph asked me to speak, so I thought I would cover a passage that's very close to my heart. When Raph asked me, he slipped it in another conversation that was completely out of completely away from this, and we were having coffee, we were discussing a few things, and then he was like, "Oh, by the way, do you mind teaching?" And I was like, because I'm not a teacher, I'm not a pastor, and I certainly don't do this normally. So he was like, "Share something that is close to you," right? So that's exactly what I thought I would do. The passage that we're going to go through, which is 1 John 1, 5 to 10, is something that's very close to my heart because it was something that I labored over for quite a while through a seasonal transitional part in my life. And what I thought I would do, because pre-COVID, there was a lot of different faces, and now, in the transition of post-COVID, there's a lot of new faces. So there's a lot of people that I don't actually know here. So I thought I'd give a small, quick testimonial of my life, who I am, and that will hopefully also give a bit of context to what we're talking about today. So my story in parts, at least in some parts, is probably very similar to a lot of you guys. I was raised in a Christian home, and with good parents, had a very good upbringing. And you know, we went to church since I was young. I gave my life to the Lord when I was young. Just FYI, I'm very bad with dates. So when I say when I was young, it's because I don't actually remember any dates of anything. But except for my birthday, my wife's birthday, and when I got married to my beautiful wife. But apart from that, everything else is out of it. But so when I was young, I got baptized, and you know, it was a good upbringing. But then my teenage years hit. And I don't know about everyone here, but certainly for me, with my teenage years, a lot of the things of the world started to get a little bit more attractive, right? So parties got a little bit more attractive. Girls certainly got a little bit more attractive. And all of a sudden, I felt like God was great for old people, but for me, it's not really that relevant, right? So what tended to happen was the more I chose to separate myself from God, the more I started to separate myself and was attracted to things that God didn't want for me, right? And I started to try and find my joy, my fulfillment in, especially moving out of my teenage years in parties, friendships, relationships especially, and being successful. For me, at least personally, success was something that was very important to me. And I thought once I've obtained that success, once I've reached that success, I was able to finally find fulfillment and joy in what I was supposed to be doing, my whole point, as it were. But then things started to happen in my life that started to break down around me. It got to a point in my life that there's something happened. I'm not going to go into lots of details about what it is because we just don't have the time. But something happened in my life that really shook myself and my family to its core. Completely shook it to the core, to the point it was something that would happen that you don't expect to happen in your life. You see it in movies, you see it on TV shows, but you don't expect it to happen in your life. And it happened to us, and it shook me to the core. It really rocked everything that I thought was supposed to happen, right? My life all of a sudden wasn't looking like it was supposed to be looking. And that really started to make me feel less puffed up, less confident in what I'm supposed to do. You know how you are when you're in your early 20s and you think that you know everything, you think that you've got it sussed out finally, you know, you can vote, you can drink legally, you can do everything else, I've got it sorted, right? And then I started to realize that perhaps this wasn't the case. And I started to feel like I needed something else. But you know, you go through that period and you go through that season in your life, and then all of a sudden you start to forget again, right? And I started to forget what was happening. And so I moved here in my early 20s. I started to get a good job here. I got married here in my first marriage here, and it was something that I was like, okay, now it's going to be right. Okay, now I started to get some work. I was starting to work as a consultant. I opened up a bar with my then wife, and the bar was super successful. We made a lot of money, not to the point that we were millionaires, but to a point that we could do a lot of luxuries that perhaps you aren't able to do in your 20s. We went on a lot of holidays. We were pretty chilled out with a lot of things. And my consultancy was going well, and I started to get a taste of success. I started to get, you know, people knew who we were, people knew who our bar was. When I was consulting people, I built up a good relationship in my consultancy and business, and you know, things were seemingly going well, but there was still this thing. Why? When I'm starting to get these things that I thought when I was a teenager, when I was early teens to late teens, that I thought that I needed, why am I not fulfilled? Why am I not happy? Okay, I wasn't exactly where I wanted to be, but I should be a little bit more joyful about all of this. You know, I had friends, I had, you know, it wasn't like I was living an unhappy life. I just wasn't joyful, and I wasn't happy, and I wasn't fulfilled, should I say. And then my father passed away. He got cancer, and from 6 months to it was about a 6 month period from diagnosis to passing away. And that really, really shook me. That was something that I was only in my mid-20s, and it was something that was relatively unexpected. And through that, God was working. He managed, even though I wasn't particularly walking with him, he was working. He started to make me realize, make me see the love that was around my family's brothers and sisters, you know, the way they fed into our family, the way they were there in support. It just started to make the ball rolling, and it started to make me to consider what perhaps there's something else, right? Of course, I come back here, I get into my life, and I start to forget everything again, right? I start to continue continually try and pursue more. Perhaps maybe if I do this with my life, perhaps if we get this, perhaps if I have these friends, things will start to be a bit better. And you know, I'm a stubborn person. You don't really kind of learn from all of those conversations that the Lord is trying to have with you, right? And then I decided to, when I was in my office, I was in my home office, and one day, and I'm having to do some project, and I decide to do something that you know you're not supposed to do. And no one's in the house. No one's in the house. No one is around. I go on my computer, and I do this. I go, there's no one there. I'm just making sure that no one sees. And then I type in a Christian radio. And then I'm starting to listen to Christian music, and I'm starting just to try and seek something. I'm like, okay, maybe I need a little bit of you, God. You know, maybe I need a little bit more. So I start listening to Christian music, and then I had a crazy vision one day. I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was, I won't go into details. I won't labor it, but it was something that was very, very, very profound for me. And it still wasn't enough. I'm just holding on, just for enough, you know. And then I'm married, and we try, and at the time, and we it gets to the point where I'm like, this isn't enough. This isn't enough. I'm married. I've got success. I'm listening to Christian radio. I've got friends, I'm enjoying life, why is this not enough? And one day, out of nowhere, I wake up. On one Sunday morning, I wake up, woof, and I'm like, I have to go to church. I don't know what came over me, I didn't think about it, it wasn't something that I openly discussed, it wasn't even something I openly was trying to think about, and I was like, I've got to go to church. I turned to my wife at the time, who, bearing in mind, I never spoke about Jesus, I never spoke about Christ, I never spoke about God, faith, nothing. It just wasn't in a conversation. I turned to my wife at the time, and I'm like, I'm going to church. And she was like, okay. So I get up, I get changed, I have some breakfast quickly, just kind of leave her to do her thing. I get in the car, and I decide to go to Santa Ponsa Community Church. And I go there because when I was getting married, I was looking for churches to get married in. And I open up the browser, I type in churches, Mallorca, English, probably. And I click a link, and Raph's face comes up. And then whoever was here back when Jimmy was here, Jimmy's face comes up. And I'm like, there was something about it, you know, and I'm like, I ain't going there. So, but I remembered this church, right? I remembered this church, and I was like, okay, I'm going to go to Santa Ponsa Community Church, although I probably didn't remember the name at the time. I found the link, found the address, drove here. I drove here, and I was about an hour early, and I sat in the car on my own, and I was like, okay, what am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? James, what are you doing? What am I doing? What am I doing? You know, like I didn't know what I was doing. And so I sat there for about half an hour trying to work out, build up the courage to go. I get here and I'm probably about half an hour early. And as I walk up, I can hear Inside Out playing. And I go to step forward in through the door. And it was May in the afternoon, mid-May, in the morning, mid-May, and I wouldn't assume the air conditioning units were on, there wasn't windy, and I walked through the door, and this breeze comes over me, this straight over me. And breeze is not the right word to describe it, but I can't find the words to describe it, but this thing came over me, just completely consumed me, and all I could feel was God's love and His presence. All I could feel was God's love and His presence. It was something that just absolutely absorbed every root of my body, and He just said to me, "Welcome home." And He just, God's good, no? And He just took me into His arms, and I just knew it. I knew it, and I knew it. And I sat down. This was back when the service was happening over here. And I sat down, and then Raph must have caught me crying my eyes out as I came in. And he comes he comes down and he sits down and he's like, hi, you know how he is. And and then we talk, we go to his office and we talk through things, and then I come out and I sit down and the service starts, and I really felt like the Lord was saying to me, James, I have been patient, I have been patient, I have been patient. I have been patient, and I have been patient. And it got to the point where he was like, you need to start to walk with me. You need to start to take those steps. And I was just there, and I was crying. I have no idea what the sermon was about. I can't remember at all. But I was there, and I was like, Jesus, I'm walking with you. Jesus, I'm making that decision. I am going, and I'm going to walk for you, for your glory. And that was quite a few years ago, and I never looked back. And that doesn't mean it wasn't easy, right? You know, like, things weren't an issue for me in my work or financially, but my marriage was really starting to... there was a conflict. There was a big conflict there, and it was something... And God taught me how to love. He taught me how to love unconditionally, and it was something that... in that love, I had to... you have to love when you're not necessarily at least seeing or receiving that love back. It started to become a conflict because this wasn't what... for all of... You know, this wasn't my wife's fault in the sense that she didn't sign up for this, right? She didn't sign up for a Christian guy going to church all the time, talking about Christ, talking about his problems. And I'm like, well, you know, especially when you're super enthusiastic, when you've recommitted your life to the Lord and you're like, well, Jesus, you know, every 2 minutes, you know, it wasn't something she signed up for. And it got to a point where the conflict was just too much. And she decided that we should separate. So we separated, and that lasted 3 years. And I have to say, when... In that time when she decided that we needed to separate, and we had another an apartment at the time, so she moved into that apartment, I stayed in our apartment, and I was thankfully in a place where I could just take time off work, so I decided to take 2 weeks off. I took 2 weeks off, and I just spent the time in worship, reading and worship, just asking God, what am I supposed to do, right? What is this about? And for him... I really felt like he was saying to me, 3 years, 3 years. And I was like, okay. I was like, great, 3 years. She's going to give her life to the Lord. It's going to be hard work, but she's going to give the life to the Lord, and we're going to live for Christ together, and everything's going to be great. And that didn't happen. And it got to the point, at that 3 year mark, she comes to me. She comes to me, and by this time we're very distant, you know, and she comes to me, although we had a business together, but we were very distant in that respect. She comes to me and she says, I want a divorce. And I was like, okay. And I felt like, I was like, God, this is not what I signed up for. This was not like, you know, 3 years, you're supposed to do this, not that, you know, but it was something that it was a process, and God works in everything, right? And I learned so much through the whole process. But you know, we, as a non-believing spouse, we got divorced. It wasn't an easy decision, and it was very difficult. But it got to the point where I was like, okay, so we're divorced. I left my business because we had a joint business together. I left my business, and I was like, okay, I'm going to leave my business, but that's on you, God, right? You got to sort me out another job now. And I was like, but I have to move. I was like in amongst the old business, and I needed some clarity. I needed to be able to get away. So I was like, okay, I need to find somewhere else. I want to kind of perhaps move closer to the church as well, so I could serve there. I was like, that's on you. I need a car, because we only had one car, and I didn't have the car in the divorce. So it was like, okay, I need a car, right? And in 3 days of having this conversation, he provided a job, and not just any job. He provided a job that was in my specialism, in marketing, well paid, a 9-to-5, because I felt like I needed to have a single commitment that wasn't all up in the air, some stability for a while. And it was a good job. And if anyone knows Mallorca, they know that finding a job within your specialism at a senior level is not easy. And God provided one in 3 days. And then I told you I'm bad with dates, but around in the next two-week period, he found me a place to stay. He found me a house, or an apartment, should I say. It wasn't the apartment I had in mind, but it was the apartment he had in mind and ended up being absolutely perfect for what I needed. It was an incredible time in my life. And he found me a car. Someone from church who was leaving Mallorca sold me a car, and it was something that God just answered. And I was like, right, this is it, my work. This is from him, all of this. This is where I'm supposed to be. And I'm going to, in moving to the new place, I really wanted to spend some time in my off time from work. I really wanted to spend some time with the Lord again. It was clear that he's made all these provisions, and I was like, I need to spend some time with him. And through this time, I went through this passage for weeks and weeks and weeks. This passage exactly. So this is why I'm going to share it with you and to give you some context of why we're going to, from that perspective. Now, writing this, I have to say, writing or preparing this sermon, what was spoken to me at the beginning from the passage when I first really studied it to preparing this. The messages are slightly different, but that's how God works, right? He starts to reveal new things, and amen, I really hope and pray that this message is going to be something that is going to really resonate with you guys. And just to kind of cut the rest of the story short, so we give a bit of a closing to the testimony, I then met my beautiful and lovely now wife. We have an incredible one-year-old, Eliana Hope. Her name means God has answered hope, and so every time we get to look at her beautiful face when it's not screaming, it reminds us of that God really has answered hope. And praise Jesus, God is good, right? And when he writes a story, he really writes a story no matter what that story is. That leads on to what we're going to talk about now. I've titled it Walking with God, Our Source of Light. I'm going to read these verses, and then I'll open up in prayer. So this is the message. Next slide. So this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. We say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this opportunity just to be able to, as a family, go through these passages, Lord. I just pray that you allow my words to have clarity, that they're words in your name, Lord Jesus. That it is your message, that what you want to speak to all of us today, Lord Jesus. I pray that we have, when we open our Bibles today and we listen today, Lord Jesus, that we can consume your word. We can absolutely nourish everything that you have to say to us today, Lord Jesus. Jesus, we love you, we thank you, and we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I have to admit, when I first skimmed through this, and it was a refresher, right? When I first skimmed through this, I was like, okay, so he's talking about don't be a hypocrite, right? He says, you know, if you do this, if you say this, but you do this, then you make me a liar. You know, this and that, do this and then do that. And I was like, man, he's talking about hypocrisy. And then God very calmly went on to me and he said, James, this is not about you. James, this is not about you. This is not about who you are. This is about me. The emphasis is on who God is. It says it clearly at the very beginning. It says God is light. Everything else is how we walk within that, right? So, and I think we can do that sometimes. We can get so caught up on what we think we need, right? We start to forget who God is, right? And hopefully, this will give us some perspective today on who God is. And I have to say, at least for me, we need to have a continual revelation of who God is, right? We need to keep on reminding ourselves. In fact, we're called to. We need to continuously remind ourselves in our pursuit in Him, we need to remind ourselves who God is. So as we unpack this together, I just want to, my prayer for us is to understand who God is, to understand why it is important and what it means for us as followers. If we go to the next slide, Martin. So I've already kind of given the context a bit before. It's in bright yellow right here or here. God is light. Verse 5, this is the message we have heard from Him and proclaim to you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. But what does this mean, God is light, right? If you're familiar with John's writings, you know, he always puts this emphasis on light. It's always God is light, like this, like that, like light, light. I'm thinking, wow, okay, maybe there's some meaning in here. Maybe I need to study this a bit more. And while I was revising this through to prepare today's message, I mentioned Eliana, bless her little socks. She doesn't like to sleep, okay? She doesn't like to sleep at all. So sometimes, being the good husband, I need to help out. So I stopped what I was doing, and she was crying. She'd woken up. She'd only woken up after about 20 minutes or so. She woke up. She was crying her eyes out. So I go into her nursery. Now, she has some very specific conditions to sleep, okay? She has some very specific conditions. You have to have it pitch black. Has to be pitch black, all right? And if it's not, she'll tell you otherwise, all right? So when I go in, I'm scrambling. I got to make sure that the light outside is turned off. I close the door while I pick her up, put a dummy in. I close her door. The curtains are already closed, you know, those double curtains that, you know, don't let any light in. So when I pick her up and I close the door and I'm holding her like this, it's pitch black, right? And I can't move. So I'm there and I know another condition that she has is that I need to start rocking, right? So I'm like this in the pitch black, rocking, going, trying to sing. I'm not going to sing for you, but trying to sing a nursery rhyme, bless her, she has to listen to me sing. And then trying to sing like this and I can't move. I don't know where I'm going. I know if anyone's been to our house, they'll know, or the nursery, they'll know that there are toys everywhere in that nursery. Toys for 3-year-olds, 2-year-olds, 5-year-olds, not many for a 1-year-old. She's one, by the way. But it means they're big toys, and then you can't move anywhere without getting something stuck on your foot, right? So I'm frozen here. I have no guidance. I have nothing. I have no visibility. I have no clarity. I can't see. I'm frozen. And then what happens? There's no such thing, rarely, of no light. So that glimmer of light that's coming through that curtain, or that glimmer of light that's coming through the gap in the floor, starts to shine a little bit. And all of a sudden, there's no darkness. It goes from no darkness to light, right? And I get to see those shapes on the floor. And I can finally start moving. I can finally start walking, stepping over those obstacles, right? Stepping over those issues that are right there on the floor, starting to move, and she can finally start to sleep, right? Because all of a sudden that light comes through, and there I gain some perspective. If we go to the next slide, in the same way, God gives us, through His light, God gives us that perspective. He gives us that security to move forward. We are guided by His light. Light always outshines darkness. There is nothing more powerful, and there is nothing more safe, and there is nothing more secure than His light, right? And I want us just to meditate on those ideas as we unpack this verse a little bit more this morning. So if we go to the next slide. But that still doesn't quite answer our question, why light, right? Why light? Why does John always describe it as light? Well, we know, for those of us who are Christians here, we know that God is the creator, right? We know that He is powerful, He's our Father, and we even know that God is love. But why does He refer to it as light? Why is John continuously writing about it? Well, I want you to think about a light bulb, okay? It's and I hope this illustration, and the idea of this illustration is to try and sort of, when we continue to talk about this, is to give some clarity on this. When we think about God being light, there's actually two parts to this, right? Okay, God is light, and the light that shines in us. So if we think about a light bulb, we have the light, it's shining, right? But that light doesn't shine on its own, right? It doesn't shine on its own. We need a power source for that light to shine, you know? And God is that light bulb, but we are that light bulb. We only shine through that source. We only shine through God's light, right? Through that power source. So as we talk today, we're going to unpack what it means, what it pertains to our life about that power source. John also illustrates this perfectly, if we go to the next slide, in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." And if we go to the next slide, in John 12:36, "While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light." Right, and I've highlighted believe because it's in context of what we talk about later on also. So with that, if we go to the next slide, we have outlined, right, who God is from the perspective that John writes about. God is light. And as we talked about it before, as John writes, well, Jesus is the source, and we just read about it before, John writes, "Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness." Whoever follows me, speaking of Jesus, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. Jesus is our source. So if we go to the next slide and we look at verse 7 from the passage that we're reading, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." So when it talks about fellowship here, it's not just talking about fellowship either just with our brothers or sisters or either just with Christ, but with that combination. But to have fellowship means that we need to love. We can't have fellowship, guys, without love. We can't have fellowship with Christ without love. He is referring to the light being love. God's ultimate sacrifice was in love, right? And it even talks about it in the passage. God's ultimate sacrifice of giving his son to die for our sins is in love. In Mark 12:30, he talks about it. It says, tell us our greatest commandment is to love our God and each other, right? So if we then go to the next chapter of John in John 2:8, "At the same time, it is a new commandment that I am writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light." Whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him. There is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Right? To live in God's light, we got to live in love. If we go to the next slide, light always manifests itself in love. Okay, so how does this pertain to us? Well, let's talk about the opposite of light for just one second. What is the opposite of light? Darkness, right? What is the opposite of love? Hate, right? So just as almost of a side comment here, hate is a poison. I don't know if any of you guys have hated anyone in your life. If you say no, just remember what we read, that we're all sinners, and if we say we're not, we're making God a liar. So just to have some clarity. So put your hand up. No, you don't have to put your hand up. But we are all sinners, okay? And I certainly, through a couple of periods of, well, in one particular period of my life, had a real burden of hate. And let me tell you, hate is a poison. It will decay from the inside, okay? And one of Satan's greatest tricks is to let you think that the hate you store up for someone else is more comfortable than the love and the light that you would get to show on that person that has done you wrong. Okay, let me just say that again. The hate, Satan's greatest trick is the hate that you to tell you that the hate that you store on someone else is going to be more comfortable than the light and the love that you show on that person. And it is a lie from the pit of hell. And why does Satan tell you this? Why does Satan tell you this? Well, he tells you this because he knows exactly who God is. He knows who God is. He's been dealing with him forever, right? He knows who God is. God is what? God is light. God is love. And he wants to rob us from that. Satan wants to rob us from that love, right? Because it is a reflection of Christ. So please do not allow that hate to persist in your soul. And we're going to talk about how we don't do it, right? We're going to talk about that. If we go over and we talk about walking in love, right? I want to just talk a little bit about walking in love. Why? Because to not keep that hate inside us, we need to walk in love, right? And it seems that in verse 6, that there's a bit of a conflict. I don't know if any of you picked it up when we read through it, but it seems like he's saying, okay, we must walk in love. We must fellowship in love, right? But we're all sinners. And if we're sinners, we walk in darkness. You know, like, well, how is that possible then? Because simply put, it is not a commandment. If we go to the next, it is not a conflict. It is an actionable command. If we read, we go, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us, right? It's not a conflict. We must walk in the light. Right, and I don't know how many of you guys have ever walked before. I'm pretty sure most of you have walked here, right? I don't know if you've ever tried to walk, but when I try and walk, I put one step forward, right? And let me listen, say it again. I put another step forward. This is a command. This is an actionable command. It's something that we must practice and do. We can't do it. God, remember what we said before, Jesus is our source. He is going to provide that ability to walk, but we have to take that step. We have to take one step, and we have to take another step, and we have to take another step. It is imperative that we listen to what God is saying. It is imperative that we understand that it is an actionable command. We are not called to be perfect. We are not called to be perfect. And I'm sorry if I labor over this, but it's very important to understand. I know that sometimes we can be so consumed by our sin that when we approach God, we start to feel like, okay, well, you know, once I get this sorted, you know, and then I'm going to be right with God. Once I get this sorted, once I do that, or once I go to church more often, or once I do this, once I've stopped sinning, I can walk with Christ. And that's not what he's saying. He's not telling us to stop sinning for us to walk with him. He's telling us to use the source, use Jesus, right? It's not a call to be perfect, but it's an actionable command that we must try and start to walk with Jesus as our source. Okay, so for all of the Christians that are struggling with sin, and we all are, it's important that we understand that we are seeking more than what the world can offer. We're not seeking this perception of perfection. And why do I say we're not seeking more than the world can offer? Because what does the world always offer? How we ourselves how we ourselves can be the best we've got to be, how we ourselves can do this five-step course and all of a sudden be the most successful that we can be, how we ourselves can go and be the richest person we need to be the most loving person that we need to be. And that's not what Jesus offers. He doesn't offer that call to be perfection. He offers us to walk with Jesus. And then through the source, we can be his light, be that love. Now, I'm going to start to close now. And before I do, I know what some of you might be saying. You might be like, all right, James, so if I fellowship in Christ, I get to walk in the light. And you're like, but I am such a sinner. I don't think you realize how much of a sinner I am. And I have to say, if you think like that, that's from Satan. And what we do is we start to put God not in the position of light, right? Because God is greater than anything, and he is certainly greater than our sin. So if we go to the next slide, I just want to kind of reinforce this point a little bit. If we go from verse 7 to 10, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Now, so for all of you guys, and if you're not a Christian and you're like, okay, this is great, but this is not for me, I don't walk in the light and stuff, then I want to labor over these points just a little bit more. John explains how we need to walk in love, in his light. He shows how God has given us the strength to do so through to Christ, right? But if we highlight what we read here, we have fellowship with one another. We must walk in love. But how do we have fellowship with one another? How do we walk in that love? Well, through the blood of Jesus, his son, who cleanses us from all sin. We must first accept Jesus as our Savior because he is what? He is our source, right? So at the very top level, we must accept Jesus as our Savior. And then, guys, we need to live a life of continual confession. We must confess our sins, okay? And when I say this, this is our source. We have Jesus to go to, right? We have, if we remember who God is and put us in perspective, we're not here. We must confess our sins and not put us up at that level and not bring God's level down here. We must confess our sins. And then if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us, right? If his word is not in us, that means, and we're making God a liar, that means we need to have the word in us, right? We cannot do any of this without the word not being in us. It's a call to action. We must know his word. We must meditate on his word. We must read his word. So what does it mean to walk with God, our source of light? Just to kind of summarize in the next slide, we must live a life of love, right? We must live a life of love. And to do that, we must accept Jesus as our Savior. We need to confess our sin, live a life of continual confession, and we must know his word. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not with us, right? So why would we want to do that? And this is really in closing now. God, next slide, sorry. God equals light. He is love. And through Christ, we can walk in that love. We can walk in that light. Jesus is our light, and we do not need to rely on ourselves. Okay, so if you guys are not if any of you are not Christian here, or if any of you guys are not, were like me when I was younger and decided not to walk in his light and then continuously wonder why that thing is not quite satisfying you, or maybe you're young enough to think that it still doesn't matter, I still just need to obtain that, that amount of whatever we think is going to provide that source that isn't Christ, it's not going to happen, and it won't ever happen until we accept Jesus as our source and God as our Savior. And then the rest flows. That light, that current that goes through the light bulb, that current that goes to Jesus, right? We have to make that step. We have to flip the switch. This isn't all going to happen with us just doing nothing and just standing here like lemons and going, well, I'm saved, or well, I'm a good person, whatever, whichever category you're in, right? And then not do anything. We have to walk. We have to take that action. But as soon as we flip that switch, as soon as we start to walk, what happens? Jesus' source comes through us. Jesus comes through to our source and shines that light bulb, guys, right? So with that, I just want to close with just saying that we have communion next, okay, guys? So this is a fantastic opportunity to take communion, because what have we been talking about? We've been talking about how Jesus is our source. We've been talking about Jesus being our Savior, and we get an opportunity now to be able to sit in his presence and be able to thank God for what he's done for us, to be able to thank God that he, this thing over here, I'm a sinner, sorry guys, and then we get to thank God for everything he's done. And what I want us to do is when we take that bread, I want us to meditate on what that means for us, right? Meditate on God, who God is, first and foremost, right? We need to give our praises to who God is. Firstly, always give God our praises, right? And then meditate on what it means for Jesus to be our light, for the sacrifice that he made, how he cleansed us from our sin. So I'm going to close in prayer, and then the band will come up and they'll sing the first song, and in doing so the elements will be out. You can take the bread amongst yourselves, and then we'll take the wine together, and then we'll sing one more praise song in worship to him. Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for your word, Lord Jesus. We just thank you that we can be in your word, Lord Jesus, and ultimately that you are our light, Lord Jesus, and you have done the ultimate sacrifice for us, Lord Jesus. You have sacrificed your son, Lord Jesus, and just allow us this week, when we walk our walk, that we walk our walk with you as our source, Lord Jesus, with you as our king, Lord Jesus, and ultimately in love as your light, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for this time that we have to fellowship together, Lord. We just thank you for your glory, Lord Jesus. We give you all that praise and all that glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.
capture my heart. I surrender my will. Focus my mind till I'm yielded and still. Hearing your voice to answer your call. Carried away till I can't speak. Carry me away.